That was your house.
Exactly. That's where it started.
Okay, well, enough about that. Do you have a pool, brother?
You got something you can swim in.
Splash. You got that?
I don't have a pool. Got it.
I thought I had, yes.
But we got a 10-mile lake out back. Lake. Call it Lake Varnell. Yes, catfish are delicious.
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Yeah, all my niggas in Airbnb right now. We fucking quarantined. But welcome back to Higher Learning.
I told y'all motherfuckers.
Listen.
Yes, sir. And listen, we live.
I told you guys from the beginning of this trip that in my mind, I thought I was going to get off the plane, go to MedMen LAX, and get some of my favorite weed, Crescendo, that I can only find not in Maryland where I live at. I got to be somewhere like California to get it. You know what I'm saying?
I've been hearing about this Crescendo shit.
Haven't smoked this shit since October. I've been fucking dreaming about it, right? Get here, couldn't find it. Everywhere I looked was sold out of it. I was pretty much counted out. I pretty much told myself and convinced myself that I was not going to get that while I was here. And then I found it.
Where do you find it at?
I found it at MMD in North Hollywood.
No, what you use?
Oh, I use Weed Maps, but I didn't want to say that because they're not fucking paying me. They ain't paying me for that shit. But yeah, I use Weed Maps. Found that shit, and you know me, I had a twinkle in my eye. I said, yo.
Since we talking about?
I'll be right back. I say, I'll be right back. And nigga Trey rode with me, then we end up having to wait.
No, hold up. Before you go past that, people, you have to understand. He get this certain look in his eye, and then he start to twist his hair. And then he comes out with a thought, but it's not a complete thought, right? He might hit you with a, I'll be right back, or what you about to do, or something like that. And I've been around long enough to know that he has a move. He has a move, whether it's to get something to eat, something to drink, or some weed. And I didn't know where the fuck he was going. I just decided to go because I knew it was either he was going to get some weed, something to eat, or something to drink. God damn it. And I needed parts. I needed parts. All right, go ahead.
All right, so we get there. We got to wait in this line because, of course, you know, coronavirus. So here's the thing, right? In California or other places that have legal marijuana or even places with medical marijuana, as long as there are dispensaries that are open, the government has determined that weed dispensaries are considered essential business. So they're not going to close. Like, if the grocery store might close, you know what I'm saying? Or your corner store, maybe not the main grocery store based off zonage, but that corner store bodega, that shit's closing. Your closest dispensary, that motherfucker gonna be open. So shout outs to that, at least. You know what I'm saying? Silver lining in like a panic hysteria. So the word Crescendo describes this weed the way it is. I mean, it's the loudest point reached in a gradually increasing sound. Do you want me to use it in a sentence? Higher Learning has reached a crescendo. Oh, okay. It is the highest point you get in increasing intensity. But enough with me trying to like weave shit together, you know what I'm saying? And let's just talk about the fucking matter of fact, Trey, spark the strainer.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'll tell him that.
Hold on. Let me get the black description first before you go into it.
All right. Give him.
That I sparked this crescendo that I've been hearing so much about. Crescendo is kind of, I would say, mid-green leaves, kind of dense, kind of hard, not a lot of soft buds. Wasn't really no soft buds for real.
Right.
A lot of orange hairs, not a lot, but a couple. Couple orange hairs, a couple crystals. Now the smell. I'm a smell guy. I'm not so much of a look. You feel me? When I see some pretty shit, then yeah, I'd be like, oh, this shit is pretty.
And then you want to know that thing smell like it.
Right. You feel me? So
when he like his weed, like he like his women.
Yeah. huh? Well, I do like my women to smell good, if that's what you're insinuating. But when I broke this down and I cracked it open, it's like it's an initial smell, initial strong smell, right? Right. Now, the initial smell is a strong, potent smell, right? But then you crack it open. And this is something you crack open. And say you in a room by yourself, but you in the house with all your homeboys. Mm-hmm. You crack this open and start rolling. Niggas gonna smell this and come in the room. Like, what you smoking? You get what I'm saying? Like, that smell is loud. Like, and I love it. Crescendo is definitely top three.
And that is one of the things about the name when it comes to this weed, that a lot of weed names, there are some weed names that come out, like we smoked some shit called Vision. And it was some cool weed. I just don't know why it was called Vision.
Right.
Like, I didn't understand. You understand? Like, hold up. I didn't understand the name in relation to the weed. That's just like some weed being called, like,
Did you evaluate your vision?
All right, look, no, I didn't. I didn't do anything with that. Like, all right, look. If I made some shit called lemon meringue pie meets lemonade, I didn't use the word lemon in there twice, it right? Taste like if that lemon. Shit tastes like chocolate, actually, never mind. Let me not use chocolate because lemon drops do kind of taste like a chocolate brownie in the liquor world. But if that shit tastes like strawberry, all right, then obviously it didn't go along with it. Oh, but the point I was making was that, yes, this is super loud. You know what I'm saying? It has sweet, earthy, citrus aromas, but then it's gassy and cushy, and it has like cookie dough type flavors in there. Like Trey said, it's green. It has a lot of purple accents. The parents of this, we smoked one of them since we've been here. I feel as though that I might smoke one of the other parents. I know that Brian wants to get some King Louis, which kind of may cause us to bring you guys a bonus episode extra than we were planning on doing for the season. We'll just see how that goes. But Mandarin Cookies is one of the parents. And Mandarin Cookies, by far, has been
Mandarin
one of...
Mandarin Cookies is the parent for this?
For this.
Oh, get the fuck out of
right.
here.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
And
yeah.
So I guess we'll do... And this is just, you know, from a producer standpoint, okay. We're going to have to drop the five kings of R&B.
The five kings of R&B. We did that already, didn't we?
Well, we did the greatest of all time, and we did the greatest current. But, I mean, I guess this can
no,
be...
we can't. No. Because we would have to mention his name again, and we're not doing that.
This is what you can do. I mean, because I've been brainstorming stuff for season two. If you narrow it down to a year profile... You can get that. You can get that off as a five, but you got to narrow it down to a year profile. And then you're going to have to give us, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course, we'll use movie magic and we'll come back, or podcast magic, and we'll come back. You know, we'll make sure that we have our list locked and loaded. But, like, yeah, like Kings of R&B from 2005 to 2010. Like, you can get that off.
Right.
Because we haven't done anything narrow like that. We're going to do narrow shit, like hone in on our fives on season two. Which we'll talk to you guys a lot more about, you know, later on.
Well, I get it's a nine. Yeah. 9.5.
Yeah. Because, I noticed that Trey gives weeds a higher ranking on his 1 to 10 ranking that he's been hitting you guys with all season. Anything that has that diesel-y, citrusy taste to it. And this one gives you a lot of diesel because of Chem Dog. I feel as though that even though Trey hasn't been able to find his sour diesel strain that he prefers, that maybe this Chem Dog...
I don't have Chem Dog in the past. I fucks with that too.
I feel like the I-95 in this is what ties it together. I feel like the Chem Dog gives it the diesel-y, citrusy taste. The Mandarin Cookies gives it the baked sweet taste, right? And that I-95 crosses it together. So this is one of those
I-95?
Yeah, this is a super group hybrid. So this is one of those hybrids we talked about earlier in the season where when there's three strains that are crossed together. As the process, as far as that's concerned... That's when we need to get into the interviews, because I really want to talk to a cultivator to understand how do you choose which two parents to cross with each other first to create the initial hybrid, and then you hybrid it with the other one. Because I believe, unless there's a such thing as like a plant threesome, I'm not sure if you can pollinate a female plant with two male parent plants at the same time. But maybe you can. Maybe that's what they're doing. But hopefully we can get a grower for next season. Like, I really want to get some guys in the business so we can kind of pick their brains about some shit. Because at the end of the day, it's only but so much I can get from the internet. And I like to get some real-time information from niggas who actually do this shit, like, for a living.
Right.
Anybody else got any comments they want to put on the Crescendo stream?
No.
All right. Well, Trey was going down the YouTube rabbit hole, and he stumbled upon some videos. What were you watching?
I was watching fucking Paternity Court.
All right, Paternity Court. Long story short, there's a dude, and he smashed his god sister.
All right, hold up.
Trey, give him the background.
It's two videos I watched. All right. One video, it was a guy, a girl, that they had a baby. And the baby, of course, started not looking like the nigga. So he started questioning it. But
Right.
The way this female was, she was one of them females that, nigga, is either you going to be with me or you're not going to be with me. I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do regardless. You get what I'm saying? So she was open, nevertheless. Like, yeah, she admitted to sleeping with somebody else and having another nigga. And if you cool with me having another nigga, then cool, I'm with you. If you're not, then nigga, I'm still going to do what I want to do. That was her attitude, right?
All
right. So come to find out, the other nigga... Now, all right, this is what happened. She had her godmother in court with her as her witness. Now, the judge was like, now, not only are you her godmother, but you are the supposed grandmother. And in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? Godmother and a grandmother? So that means you had to have sex with your godbrother.
Which brings me to a question.
Right.
It sparked the question.
Okay.
I know that there's a line, all right? Let me preface it with that. I understand that there's a line. Mm-hmm. And I don't want nobody to fucking try to soundbite me or clip a piece of this and turn it into some weird shit because
even though
I'm not sure if this is as weird as it is. And if it is, then I guess I'll find out now. But... Is that out of bounds? Like fucking a god sister? Is fucking a god sister out of bounds?
It's the principle, I guess. Is
it based on how you feel about the person, and because you feel a certain way, you've decided to respect them as an actual family member, and then the rules of family applied in that situation? Or is it because if someone else chose for this woman to be my godmother and her offspring by default of that become my god sisters, mm-hmm. by that law that my parents created, I'm not allowed to fuck them? Like, that is out of the question.
I mean, it's like I said, it's the principle, because once you have the you know what I'm saying, right. God damn it, that this is your god brother, god sister, and then you treat it as such. Like,
so it's the way that you treat it. That's
right,
why.
Right.
But it isn't just a blanket thing.
Technically.
Is having godparents and god brothers and sisters a black thing?
I think so. Yeah.
And I was about to say that. Because Trey did say that earlier. You said that in the black community, your godparents or your god sister or god brother, that's like you're like showing up family.
Yeah. But what happens is, I think it's not necessarily just a black thing. I think it's a thing in a Christian community, because what happens is a process happens. You know, you get your child, what you call Christians. Yeah. and in that, you know, process.
Is it Christian or christened?
Christian.
Christened.
Oh, yeah, christened, yeah.
I'm not sure. When that process happens, you introduce the god mom and the god dad, you know, to the situation.
And the purpose of the godparents is to be the responsible
adult if your parents were to perish. Right. Okay.
So.
Now. Right. What I'm saying is that... Inherently, in that case, creepy.
Trey's kids are all right.
Is it inherently creepy? Or, all right, let's just get off, because obviously I think godparents, now that I'm realizing it, because God is involved in it right there, I guess I can, like, say that maybe maybe it's a gray area. It still has to be a gray area. As dark gray as it is, that still has to be a gray area. But what about, like, Foster? Like hypothetically speaking, and by hypothetically, I mean in real life.
And you got to understand, but even Foster, even God, they're coming from completely different families, not of your
lineage. It's not of blood, technically.
Right. So if my grandmother, hypothetically speaking, had Foster,
depending on who, you know. Depending on
she's my step grandmother. Matter of fact, I'm super safe.
Brian's actually absolutely right. Okay, the origins of even having a godparent is a faith based practice.
Right.
Yeah. Not against, but among Christianity. Yeah. So anything that's done at the altar is an act of a covenant. Whether you get married, whether it's a christening.
Right. Okay.
So I feel like that tie at that moment, you know what I'm saying?
All right, but with that being said,
it joins
the
families.
Right, right.
As any marriage does.
But with that being said, also in the black community, we don't necessarily get the child christened to be the child's godparents. Because technically, you're Kobe's godfather. And we never got Kobe christened and for you to be the godfather.
No.
You get what I'm saying?
I mean, no, that never happened, but then that's the same way of saying, that's the same thing as having a girlfriend and having a whole family and everything and saying, technically, we're not married. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. But the covenant isn't taken, I guess, as serious as if you was to go to the altar and get it christened. And, like, because my godparents, like, I was christened, and they was deemed my godparents at my christening. You feel me? So
I think you have to relate it to, you have to put it in terms of other relationships that require a covenant. So you got to relate it to, the only thing I can relate it to right now is a marriage. So basically, if like...
Right, but what I'm saying is, even if you marry, right, and you get married at an altar, right, or... You just calling your girlfriend for 10 years your wife. You're going to treat it different. You get what I'm saying? Like, your girlfriend 10 years for wife, y'all break up. All right, we done, da-da-da. You feel me? But if you're actually married, then it has to be carried in a different manner. You feel me? So now if you're actually christened as the godparents or the godfather, whatever, I think it would be taken in a different manner to... than just saying somebody's the godparents. You know what I'm saying?
The whole thing is the fact that if you're going to call, because it's a faith-based practice, if you're going to call yourself a Christian and you do not, one, marry the person that you living with or starting a family with, God has not honored the union. Because that's what it's about. So in the same instance of, okay, I've chosen this person to be my godparents, but I haven't gone before God or done the things that my faith tells me and my practice tells me I should do if I'm going to have, you know, if I'm going to put these people in these places in my kids' lives, then technically, it's not honored by God. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, bringing it back to, is it a cool to mess with the daughter of my, you know what I'm saying? That's my godma. We not family. You know what I'm saying? But it's the act of, okay, this is who this person is. This is what the responsibility is. And our families are joined by this act, by this covenant. You see what I'm saying? That's right. What joins the covenant. The covenant is what it makes the blood thicker than water.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, I think you got to look at it like that. Of course, you're going to look. Me and my sister have two different sets of godparents.
I do too. Like, by myself, I got two godmothers and two godfathers.
Me and my sister got two different sets of godparents, and was the relationship there as like a shadow parent? No. You know what I mean? Did they call on my birthday? That stopped after like 8. You know what I mean? Like,
Damn, so I'm the only one with godparents? Like, my godparents have been here for me. No, since, like, still to this day, my godparents still.
My sister's godparents are more godparents to me than my actual godparents. Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't have godparents, but, well, I don't know if I have godparents, honestly, based on my family dynamic. But I do know that I have, like, two godbrothers, but I just made them my godbrothers. So it was, like, one of those things where it's, like, we're not really godbrothers, but, like, when we were young, we were so cool that we figured that godbrothers made us more close than being play cousins, basically. Right. So I can agree with Jay. Like, I'm thinking about taking this as rule. Like, yeah. Maybe
you're not supposed to. I mean,
nah, because the way that he broke it down, God sisters have to be off limits, but foster aunts gotta be cool. Because I already did that, so I can't.
You're trying to clear your conscience now.
Yeah. I did that already. So
I did that already.
I have to make that clear that that's okay.
Foster aunts. All right.
I mean, because look, I mean, think about it like this.
The final foster aunt.
All right, look, my step-grandmother, our fine, it's not my grandmother, it's not my actual blood father's mother, it's my father's young wife's mother. She got foster daughters. She had two. Now, those two, here's where I'm twisted at, because those two weren't really my type. So I treated them as aunts. I, like, respected them as, like, teenage versions of responsible adults. They were my age, but I still, like, kind of let them tell me what to do a little bit.
Because they don't.
In
they
more of a
lesser title.
Situation where I knew I wasn't attracted to them.
Right.
But then she got a third one. And the third one was, like, this little Cape Verdean little number. You know what I'm saying? And she
Cape Verdean little number.
Yeah. Even to my white friend's lingo. She was a little Cape Verdean little number. And
Yeah, definitely.
I got that. You know what I'm saying?
I got that.
But it was one of those situations where it's like, look, like, all right, so you're a ward of the state with my grandmother, who's my step-grandmother. And of course, my hating-ass homeboys around that time tried to convince me that it was wrong. But that's because they was trying to holler at her.
Right.
And they didn't want to holler at the other two that I treated as aunts, because I didn't want to holler at them either.
Right.
Yo. So the second thing you was watching before we get into our first five and then smoke some more of this weed, next strain gonna be this orange, passion orange guava. Can you propose after a paternity test? Set the stage for him.
All right, so I was watching this other episode that nigga had been to the paternity court before with a different female and found out that the child wasn't his. So of course niggas, truth be told, niggas be scorned this shit too. You feel me? Like, they always say women be scorned and all that. Niggas be scorned too. You feel me? Like, real shit. So anyway, he had got with another female that was pregnant and baby came out looking different. So of course he started having thoughts. So I guess, I don't know if they was together, they was getting back together, they was working out, or whatever the case may have been. But they was in court, they found out the baby was his. After finding out the baby was his, he then asked the judge, can he ask the woman a question? And after she said yeah, and then he pulled out a ring and proposed. Now, my thing is, how can you propose to a woman after taking her through everything and getting the paternity test done? And how can she say yes?
Here's the thing, yo. Now, and this is just me. Listen, people, I am not trying to sway you to my opinion. I can only give you my opinion because I can only be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I look at this, I'm a nigga who is deliberately single because I have the utmost respect for the idea of being married. Only when I am the person in the relationship. I do disrespectful things to other people's marriages. At times, I have done it in the past. I'm not proud of it, but I'm transparent about who I am as a person. But when it comes to me being married, I feel that that shit is like some super life-changing important shit, right? So, if for me, I needed to know, that doesn't mean that I wasn't going to marry you anyways. But if I need to know whether or not a child you're carrying belongs to me or not, yes, you should give me that courtesy. And if I find out that it's mine or not, or whatever happens afterward, I ask you to marry me, you cannot, like, reject my proposal because I had questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fuck?
That's...
Like, think about it, because I had questions, but at the same time, I would give a woman that same type of respect. If she had certain questions to where I needed to do something that definitively gave her an answer before she decided to go into this union with me forever on, you know what I'm saying? Because marriage is supposed to be forever shit, right? So if a woman was getting ready to go into this situation with me and she just had one particular question, burning desire or whatever, that she needed answered, and I had to go above and beyond to do one thing, just this one thing. Right. It's not like a list of shit, just one thing. I would do that shit,
even if
I didn't want to do it.
Right.
And I wouldn't just tell her, well, now since you didn't trust me, I'm not going to marry you. Like, nah, bitch. Like, if I think that you might have fucked another nigga around the time that you got pregnant, I want to know.
Right.
That's what science is for. Science has allowed me to know what the fuck is going on here. And I don't think that any man should be wrong for that if you've done questionable shit.
Yeah, and in relationships, I don't think it's wrong to take extra steps to prove that you can be trusted.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you take extra steps to prove to your partner that you can be trusted, like that, you know, that I think that's better than
my thing is, right? Now, the woman didn't technically cheat on him.
Right.
I guess they broke up and she had sex with another guy like a month later or something like that. So okay, she didn't technically cheat. But my thing is, if you even have to go through any situation like this, or even if your mind leads you to a situation like this, or why the fuck y'all break up in the first place, then that's not the woman for you, dog. You feel me? You feel me? If you're going through shit now before the marriage and y'all just barely getting shit together and all that, what makes you think a ring is going to change? Everything, you feel me, you might be good the first year. But after that, nigga, I don't know.
All right, so.
I just don't see the point.
I guess while we're in relationships, before we get ready to talk about this, Passion Orange Guava from Fire Society. This was one of the joints that I got for B because B is like the guy who just like, all right, so this nigga like jet set from like Maryland to LA. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
all right. Nah. No, yeah, all right, shit, yo. You been coming with the jokes.
That's from
you
the smoke,
had,
though,
you had an unlimited clip of the jokes, yo.
That was a sneeze, though.
That's from the smoke.
And when I sneeze, you had unlimited.
From the smoke
trip? From the smoke in the air and shit, son. Come on.
Big cigarette smoke. I don't know how I'm like.
Cigarette smoke and weed smoke is different.
All right, look. We go.
Weed smoke never got in your nose and shit before. You never sneeze off the weed smoke.
Yeah. Look, we get ready to roll up and catch a vibe, yo. And then we going to be right back, yo, with some more higher learning, yo. We going to talk about
quarantine. I don't know.
Definitely we gonna put 5 on the funniest Martin episodes of all time. We definitely doing that. Matter of fact, we might have. Oh yeah, all right, you know what, I'm high, damn it. We gonna roll up and catch a vibe and listen to this Omerta by Drake.
Omerta.
Okay, my bad. Omerta.
That's how you know.
On higher learning.
Niggas is 30 and
don't
over.
Call. Right. Here you go with this over saying. 30, yo. So, Passion Orange Guava. Listen, you guys, I just tried to do like this whole like super producer, like pre-production shit, like while the music was playing. And then I completely changed my mind in like a half a second, like in between the time the music stopped and went on. This Passion Orange Guava, talk about it.
Good smoke.
Yeah. This is from Fire Society. It's 28.3.8 THC, 33% total cannabinoids, deep orange and amber hues, forest to mid-green, light and fruity with a deeper taste to it. it seems to be a hybrid.
First of all, the look of this, like, you ever seen a picture of a weed and you be like, damn, I want to smoke that shit.
Right.
This is that. You feel me? Like, where can I find that? Like, that shit don't exist. You feel me? Like, real, real, real deep purple leaves. Real, real deep orange hairs. Real, you feel me? Like, it was just real good. Like, you almost didn't want to smoke it. How pretty.
You can tell this is exotic. It's not necessarily exotic, but it is. It comes from Hawaii, so it does have that exotic, you know, look, and definitely has an exotic flavor.
Yeah,
right.
It tastes marvelous. I put this in the top five that I ever smoked.
See, so the terpenes profile for this weed kind of leans more towards what you would find in sativas. Like I said, this is more of a sativa dominant hybrid, but it is a true hybrid. So when I say the term true hybrid, I mean something that if it's less than 60% lenient towards the sativa side, then I consider it more of a true hybrid. Once you get to things that are like 70, 30, 80, 20, then those are dominant. But 60, 40, or 55, where I think this one is, has to be considered more of a true hybrid because it is a sativa that has more of a relaxing after effects to it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you definitely feel it.
Yeah.
In your head as soon as you exhale.
And Brian was absolutely correct because the home grower of this particular weed that won first place as a hybrid flower in the Connoisseur's Cup in 2018, and it won first place overall concentrate in the King's Cup of 2019, as well as first place as a sativa sauce / sugar in the 420 Concentrate Cup of 2019, the lead grower is a native of the Hawaiian Islands.
So we smoked some award-winning shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is award-winning in 2018. Yeah. I'm actually looking at tickets for the Connoisseur Cup 2020. It's April 26th to the 20th.
Where is it at?
Denver.
Denver, which seems to be like season 3's destination. You see how ahead of the game that we're at? Like, I know that we're coming back to LA for season 2. I've already started looking at plane tickets.
So for 2021, look up the dates for 2021, and we could do season 3.
Well, no, because we go to the Connoisseur Cup anyways, just as some special bonus season, but we're going to go do a whole season anyways in Denver anyways, because I know that Denver is one of your... But I'm saying
by the time that 2021 would be...
Oh, yeah, we can go back to it again, yeah.
No, so we're going to go this year?
Who knows? We can get stimulus checks, nigga.
Oh. See, the smart thing to be as a black community, right? Imagine this, right? As a black community all around the world,
right?
Imagine if we take the stimulus checks, don't spend a penny of it, and everybody put their stimulus checks together.
Trey, on the regular show, it's not just me. We've had this conversation, and me and you have agreed on exactly what you're saying right now. Oh. But we also think about it. After we talked about it, mm-hmm. we came to the point where, well, I was more leaning towards this. You weren't, but, yo, niggas ain't going to do that shit, yo.
I know niggas ain't going
to
do it.
So the fact that niggas ain't going to do it, I become part of the problem rather than be part of the solution. Because sometimes it's hard being this part of the solution on the side of the line by yourself.
But look, think about it.
I salute those who are willing to do that.
But think about it. Is how many black people in the United States of America? Billions.
Yeah.
If everybody took their $1,000 checks and put that shit together just to put it back into black people, we could take.
Nah, you're right.
We could take the power back.
You know what? I'm going to make a clip of this and put it out early so people could listen to this in real time before they get those checks.
We could definitely take the power
back.
Here's
the thing.
Yo.
Chances are I know niggas is not going to do this.
No, definitely not.
I might be trying to go to the Connoisseur's Cup, is what you said? But this is what should happen. Because Trey is motherfucking... Listen, let me tell you something about Trey. On this trip, this nigga Trey has pulled out some of the illest points and shit, yo. You know what I'm saying? Because we are fleshing this network out and building this shit, and it's going crazy. But listen,
it's the 3 W's.
How many people do y'all think it takes to run an average business? Let's just say something like a food franchise, something that's easy to get, right? How many people do you think it takes to run this?
Big.
Just a like medium, corporate, a medium, corporate, a medium size. Or, let's say someone bought a in Los Angeles to run a Fat Burger franchise. How much do you think it would? How many people do you think it takes to run that?
30.
Okay. Now think of the equivalent of something like that that doesn't have a franchise attached to it. Mm-hmm. Just a place where you can go get food. You're talking about your delivery, your storage, mm-hmm. your workers, about your management. People. About 10 people?
I'd say about 20.
Right. Now, the reason why the franchises cost so much is because you're paying for the name mm-hmm. in the process. Mm-hmm. But if 20 niggas getting stimulus check, put that 20 bands together, mm-hmm. y'all can probably go start a business of mm-hmm. some sort.
Right.
You just have to be smart about the actual business that you're starting.
Right. Here's the thing.
We could buy back America, nigga. And the thing is, they are expecting us. They are expecting us to take this money and blow it.
Right.
You feel me? Like, that's...
And I did somewhat encourage that. But it would
fuck them up.
Right.
If we take the power back.
You're right.
And let all that shit backfire on them.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Like, I mean, you definitely have me thinking differently right now. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm talking shit. I mean, because if I were to go to the Breeders' Cup, I mean, the Connoisseur's Cup, that would be part of this show right here. So I would just really be investing back into the show. Like, this Airbnb was an investment. That's why I didn't really trip about how much they wanted for it, because I knew this was a perfect size place in the right location.
You're going on a tangent. Back to the
topic. Perfect size place. Absolutely.
He was about to go on a tangent. Because you got to think. See, right, once you start with one.
We got to give them, we have to give them the courtesy of, so at this point in time, I've probably cut it in the editing on the stream review to be uploaded as a bonus that just dropped right now at 4:20 p.m. on whatever Friday this is that this episode came out on. And, let's just finish the stream review to give them their respect, because now I want to get some fives and then some awards, because I just thought about that idea. I remember that I was thinking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anybody got some final thoughts on this fucking
I give this a 9.
Okay. The breeder was high-level health, but the cultivator, this is some weird shit I'm starting to find out. Fire Society is what it says on the bottle. High level health is what it says on the internet. I don't know. But that's it.
You'll never find.
Let's get some fives.
Runga fives. Oh yeah.
I got five.
Runga five.
Where's your five? Where's your five?
Who putting up on the sack?
I got five. Every time I sing it, I get a little better.
Who cut that record? Where you get that from?
All right. I'm gonna give you the story behind the record.
The production is
all right. So my nigga Vinny, who I used to work with on the music tip, he used to manage me back in the day. And he's just like a cool nigga who I knew from like when I was younger, like early, when I was like really doing my rap and shit, heavy in my rap and shit. He was one nigga who really supported me, always believed in me, always looked out for me. And he now runs a tattoo company called Spill the Ink. They're winning all types of awards, so shout outs to them.
Wasn't he at House of Ink?
He started House of Ink, but then he went and created his own brand called Spill the Ink, you know what I'm saying? And they're winning like awards at like all the different tattoo conventions.
I got a tattoo at House of Ink the whole time.
One day, Vinny just hit me out the blue and said, "Yo, you trying to smoke some weed and go to the studio?" I said, "Yeah." He had this one dealer show up at the crib. It was like some real rich nigga shit, yo. Because, you know, he's getting money like that. So he has a private nigga show up to the crib with these bags with all the labels on it of all this different type of weed that he can get, right? So we buy the weed. We go to this nigga's studio named Breeze. And we're looking for a beat to do. And I'm like, fuck it. Let's just like remake some shit. We landed on 5 on it. So the nigga Breeze went in there and laid this hook on this song called "We Got Your Fives," basically. We were trying to do a flip on 5 on it. So we all rapped on the song too and did our little
right,
shit.
Right.
Yeah, but that's it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Dope little record there.
Yeah, I might play the whole song, yeah, at the end of this shit. That way, they can hear my verse on there. Another excuse for people to hear me.
Shameless play.
But this Fives is going to be one that Jay the Great is going to win. Jay the Great is the favorite right now to win this. If anyone can beat Jay the Great, we're not going to be the ones to decide it. So this is one that I'm probably going to clip and put out as a teaser on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. People can vote and say whose 5 was the toughest. Top 5 episodes of Martin. Somebody put 5 on it.
He got to go first.
I got to go first?
Yeah.
All right. I would have to say top 5 episodes of
this is where he specialized at, people. That's why I made him go first. He know episodes off the back of his head.
And well, I don't know. Kinda like,
because you know everyone, so you're trying to decide. I probably only know 5 episodes that I can remember off the back of my head.
They're all like clustered right now.
Go ahead, Rental Spoons.
Oh, the restaurant episode was funny, but no. Okay, so look, I had to go like this. Hollywood Swinging 1 and 2, right?
Okay.
Now you got to describe these episodes, because I don't know them by name.
I'm sorry, I know them by name. Hollywood Swinging, that one is the one with Tommy Davidson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that's a 2-part episode.
Did you love me?
With Barnett Hill. Barnett Hill. Remember Barnett Hill?
Did you miss me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, Hollywood Swinging, part 1 and 2, right? Okay. Funniest shit. After that, I would have to say... I would have to put... The episode when they was trying to figure out what Tommy did for a living. Right. The stakeout joint.
That shit was funny.
To see it with your cat eye. Right? That joint was funny. Then,
See, I know episodes by phrases. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but that's all you got. You put that out there, niggas gonna know. If you watch Martin, you gonna know what episode it is. So Jay got 2 so far.
No, that's 3. That's
3, yeah.
My last 2. Shit. It's like it's so many, yo. It's just jumbled up in my head.
You know what we gonna do? We gonna
CD player joint, CD player episode.
Okay.
In the car, everybody's in the car.
Nah. When the Martin lost the CD player and he did the
Who Done It? Like everybody who stole it.
Yeah. Okay.
He did
the little mystery, the clue shit.
Nah, it was he reenacted. What's the movie?
Oh, with the dog, the fake dog and shit.
The movie, though? Was it New Jack City?
Yeah.
That's 4.
Okay.
And then 5. Shit. I think,
I think I got my 5. I'll go next.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to roll up and catch a vibe. We're going to roll up this strawberry shortbread from Cookies.
And I'm rolling some sour kusher.
And we're going to put both that shit in
kosher,
the air.
I'm sorry.
And we're going to catch a vibe to this furthest thing from Drake. And then we're going to come back. Drake going to hit you. I mean, damn.
Jay
going to hit you with his 5th one. Then everybody else should have their 5 together.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. I'm sorry, Martin. New in Arizona.
All right,
Jay, where's your 5th one?
All right, so my last episode would have to be Martin Goes to Court.
Okay.
That episode by far has to be one of the funniest Martin episodes.
Yeah, that shit funny.
Even from the point of where like it started, all of them driving in the car. She like, damn, baby, I think we lost. I can't find. He's like, let me see the map, baby. He's driving. He's looking at the map. He's like, damn, they done moved the street. It's like, hey, yo, from that point on, you knew it was about to be some funny shit. So, you know what I mean? The cop come up. What you did was a roll and a stop, you know, and all that shit. It was just a hilarious episode. They're trying to find a lawyer to represent him. He say, you know, hold on, baby. He say, you gonna fight for me? You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I gotta respect. I got mad. Yeah, that episode has so many twists and turns. Yeah,
this the Got the Draws episode.
Right? Hey, yo, Jay.
That episode has so many twists and turns, though.
Let the people know what your TikTok is, yo. Because they need to go check that shit out. Because you be doing some funny Martin shit on there.
I think y'all go check him out. Y'all will see why Martin is his special. Just Martin and period. It don't even have to be the Martin show. It could be anything Martin.
Well, I just got on TikTok. But well, I think I'm going to dedicate my TikTok to Martin scenes. You can follow me on TikTok. It's something to have fun with. I watched a ton of this show. Like, you know, I grew up on this show.
And he's killing it.
I grew up on this show. And I don't know. When I seen people doing voiceovers, I was like, man, if I could find, like, Martin episodes or scenes to do, I'd do those. And I came across a few. And when I learned how to upload, because I'm still learning how to work TikTok. You know, when I come across how to upload my own audio, then I'll be able to do, like, some of the other stuff that I like. I think I'm going to dedicate my TikTok to just, like, Martin scenes. I don't take it serious enough to, like, get into all the different challenges into TikTok and stuff like that. I'm going to do what I like about it. Listen,
you're a music producer. So you're already a creative. So creatives can do anything creative that they start to put their mind to. You know what I'm saying? Now, the level of what their success level varies. But sometimes, you know what I'm saying, with you, like, yeah, like, this is, like, naturally a good move for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could turn TikTok into something that makes the Jada Great brand bigger. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of intertwine it too. At least let people know, like, I got the sense of humor.
You got the funnies. Then they can come with the motherfucking funnies.
That nigga's stupid.
I just think that
that nigga's retarded. All
right, so my five is Chilligan's Island.
Oh, that's hilarious. That was in my mind too.
Yeah. The episode that they get married and they get stuck in the elevator.
That was funny.
When they go on the fucking janky ass cruise and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know when they go on the boat, you know what I'm saying?
Then he throw a rat or something overboard or something.
You know, because Gina missed the trip and Martin is there and the girl is like trying to stalk him, and then Tommy thinks that Pam wants Cole and all that shit. One of them is Jay's, and he said the Vernal Hill shit, yo. Like, that shit was the funniest shit. And
this talk show.
In the Tommy Hearns episode. I'm about to play that shit. The Vernal Hill sings for the children.
Tommy Hearns,
No, I'm about to play this shit. Hold on.
I do it for the children.
You can take the children, bounce them on their knees.
You know something funny.
Bounce them on the knee and then sing them just some day. The Vernon man. Did you mean he's
me? Hold on.
That was beautiful. Johnny Gill to sign you up. My. Oh, man. What the people want to know is about the real Varnell. Varnell the man, okay? Uh-huh. What kind of car are you driving, brother?
Actually, I'm not driving anymore, man.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I actually have a limo.
Yeah,
Mercedes limo.
The Mercedes limo. You didn't have to throw that in. You rolling like that, huh?
All righty.
Rolling like that. Okay, well, you got a big house? You got acres?
We only have the county.
Real properties, investments.
So you mean all that's you, whatever's in the county, all that's you?
A lot of investments. We bought homes. We bought stores, retail.
What about basketball courts? Our brother, we like the what about that?
Actually, we don't have an outdoor court. We have an indoor court, white bleached wood. Larry Bird was down at the house, man. Let me tell you something.
Why didn't you have the brothers down there to play ball? Why Larry Bird got to come to your house to play ball?
Wait till you tell them about
him
the catfish.
And George made that McDonald's commercial there. Do you remember that?
That was your house.
Exactly. That's where it started.
Okay, well, enough about that. Do you have a pool, brother? You got something. You can swim. Splash. You got that?
Don't have a pool. Got me.
I thought I had, yes.
But we got a 10-mile lake out back. Call it Lake Varnell. Yes, catfish are delicious.
This is a classic, like,
cast my
free-for-all at this point right here.
Yeah.
That shit is funny.
I'm not going to lie. Even though this is in my list, I'm starting to feel like that if I were to narrow my shit down to a 3... Mm-hmm. This is in the running to possibly be the funniest Martin, definitely of the two-part episodes of Martin, because the wedding episode was a two-part episode. Mm-hmm. This was a two-part episode. There was a couple other ones. This is definitely the funniest two-part episode ever of Martin.
Yeah.
Could this possibly be the funny one of?
Yes, absolutely.
The whole two parts. The whole two parts.
Then he brought in Jodeci on the second.
Yeah.
Part, with the kids.
And just him and Tommy Davidson. Together in a bit like that. Like him and Tommy Davidson in a comedic bit together like that.
A lot of high energy, a lot of fast talking.
That shit was crazy.
That shit was funny. All right,
what's your 5, Trey?
My 5. All right. First, I'ma jump it off with the Witty Hutton episode. That's one of the funny ones.
Okay.
With the bruh man Bob. He said, Gina. Jay, what he say? Y'all know you know it.
What happened?
With the Witty Hutton.
Oh, my God. she was like, what's wrong? He's like, Gina, bruh, man, can't spell. No, this is what happened. He came in running. She was like, he said something about the concert, and he was running. I can't remember the
just give us the dialogue.
Like, she said, well, where's bruh, man? He's like, I don't know, Gina. He was running with the slow vibe. He started trying to cross with the
yo, that shit like, gave me every time.
T-shirts or something like that. He pulled out a T-shirt. He's like, you know what I'm saying? That shit
said Witty Hutton. They like, did the little
can't spell.
Yeah, that shit funny to me. Definitely, Shorty Doo-Wop. Okay. It's like these episodes, right? I just remember a specific time watching these. Like, they're connected to something.
What makes a dope episode when it brings you back to a moment that you saw it. You know what I'm saying? Like
I definitely remember watching the New Jack City episode when I was young on UPN. Like, I guess when it first came out as a first episode type shit. You feel me? Like, what year was that? We was young as shit. But I'll put that one in there. Got the draws definitely in there. So Witty Hutton, Got the Draws, New Jack City, Shorty Doo-Wop, and I'm going to throw Bob from Marketing.
Oh.
I'm going to throw that one in there.
I didn't even think about that one. Okay.
I'm going to throw that in there. That's my 5.
Grammy Davis Jr., put 5 on it.
I would definitely have to say the episode where he had the karate teacher.
Yeah. That shit was funny. Dragonfly Jones.
The episode where Pam, basically, she was like, she got hypnotized by the dentist. Whatever.
Yes. That was funny as shit.
And she was acting like Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was
she
funny.
Said, "What's up?"
And she was looking at her.
Oh, when they bought the house, when they bought the haunted house.
Okay, yeah.
They bought the haunted house on Halloween.
I remember that one.
Another one. Let's see. Another one is... Oh, yeah, I would definitely have to say when they went on the vacation from off the back of the cereal box.
Yeah. That was on my list, too. Yeah, Chilligan's Island. Yeah.
Definitely that.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's funny, like... Martin is definitely a staple in the culture.
Yeah, because like the Tommy Hearns, I'm wondering what Brian's fifth, because Tommy Hearns joint, where you got the swole up face,
and the
motherfucking Varnell Hill joint. Yo, those two are like neck and neck right now. Like maybe, you know what I'm saying?
I got another five just to extend it.
It's to the point where I don't have to be watching the TV.
Right.
I can hear how, not the theme music, but the music that comes on right after the theme music that brings in
the audience.
Slight two, three second
jingle.
Uh-huh. That shit crazy. And it's funny. I'll be in the house, right? My son's mother, her sister, Morgan, she knows the episodes probably better than he do. Like, it's so crazy when they in the house together, right? We all be geeking and... they could recite a whole episode together. Like, they'll reenact the whole episode, and I just be geeking. Like, I just watched the episode of Martin. You feel me? She be drunk as shit. We be high as shit. And they just be saying Martin lines. I'm like, how the fuck do y'all know the line verbatim? Like,
right.
Verbatim. The only two people I know in the world that could do that. Only two.
Man, I used to go to sleep with that shit on, man. I used to, because what would happen is, Martin would come on later than what my curfew was. Me and my sister. So my mom would record it, right? She would record the two episodes for us.
Yep.
And what would happen is in the morning, we would have the two episodes to watch and get ready in the morning too, right? It was like, she would just, you know what I mean? She would pop the joint in, you feel me? She was like, these are the ones that came on last night. Sometimes it'd be reruns. You feel me? But most of the time, it would be, like, two different episodes. And so, like, for a long time, like, my mom, like, we had tapes and tapes and tapes of Martin. You feel me?
Son, Martin came on at, like, 8 o'clock.
Though. Here's the funny part.
When me and my sister were young, I think we went to sleep around, like, 8 o'clock. Or maybe 8:30.
Damn, son.
When we was in elementary school.
But here's the thing.
I got the similar
story with Jay, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know that this is where it tells that I'm older, because
you was watching.
Because my mom would do the same thing. They would tape it, right?
And
we would watch it later. Nah, it was Martin and Living Single.
It was Martin Living Single. Then sometimes it'd be like In the House, Steve Harvey Show.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Or it'll be like Moesha In the House, Steve Harvey Show. Oh,
these are the classic days. And it'll be like, man. Damn.
Martin. Or sometimes they'll slide Jamie Foxx in there. But then after Martin,
learning.
It would be like the Wayans Brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that,
was more WB days.
Yeah.
Because you remember UPN used to have
UPN
it
didn't lot. Have Martin, though, at first.
Yes, it did.
It did.
It started off on UPN.
Not here. Oh, not in Maryland.
Nah.
Not in Maryland.
Where it started was always on WB.
Martin was always on WB.
Nah, see, it started on UPN. I thought it did.
Mm. All right, so can we get a quick review in on this strawberry shortbread?
I didn't get my fifth. My fifth was titled The Variety Show, where he was the producer of that. The talent show.
Okay.
Remember? I said no tomatoes. TikTok. You talk about that drink?
Yeah.
He's like, push. You got to push.
Right. That shit is funny.
With soul.
Yo, that's funny.
But yeah.
What you was about to get into, because I got another throw five on it. Just so.
All right, cool. We're going to do a strawberry shortbread review. Right. I mean, listen,
then five, then we
it's
out.
21% THC. This would be considered trophy weed in my consideration when it comes to looks. It does have bright green heavy crystals. It has a very strong fruity berry taste with baked sugar. It is 21% THC. It's good weed to smoke during the daytime. Pairing it with the crescendo that we smoked, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on some fancy nigga shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, pairing it with the crescendo that we smoked and then adding that passion orange guava, that was a good mix for us to smoke during the daytime right now. I don't feel lazy. I don't feel lethargic. I feel creative. I feel ready to go. You know what I'm saying? This was one of the ones from Cookies that wasn't on my initial list. Obviously, I abandoned that whole Baker's Dozen thing. Maybe we'll do that at a later season.
Yeah, it just was too didn't many strands,
work. Yeah, it just didn't work out the way that I thought it
was.
We
just got here and just started smoking.
Yeah, but I thought that this season worked out way better than I could have planned it to. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to
and
that.
And we got an honorable mention. I'm about to light some of this sour kosher, too.
Before you put your five, honorable mention, you just said that. What's your five? Because remember, I wanted to.
Top five Martin movies.
Oh. Phew. All right. Let's give some awards real quick, catch a vibe, do top five Martin movies, and get the fuck out of here.
All right.
Okay. So, listen. I opened up this fucking show with trophies, and he be saying in the hook, they don't make no awards for that. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of shit that they don't make no fucking awards for that niggas should probably be getting awards for and shit, yo. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to give out a couple to y'all, you know what I'm saying, from throughout this trip, you know what I'm saying? And if y'all niggas got an award that you want to give to anybody, it could be a nigga in this room, it could be somebody in the world, it could be somebody listening, let's just hit them with some awards that they don't make no awards for that. You know what I'm saying?
But-
All right, Trey definitely has to get an award for two particular reasons, right? Trey was motherfucking the sword in the stone, nigga, when it comes to La Brea Towers. Nigga, this key was so fucking janky. I mean, the studio was beautiful. Listen, before you sound clip ass, nigga, it was beautiful. I loved it. But the key was janky. And everybody got close to unlocking this shit, but nobody could. So we're all outside of this shit. Like, yo, if we don't get this key to work and get in here, we're not doing this episode. You know what I'm saying? And it was the main episode for us, not just me. Everybody tried and struggled for like 20-something minutes. Trey walk up to it, start fucking with the key, and in like less than like a minute, we're in the fucking studio. So they don't make no awards for that, yo. You know what I'm saying? But I think that you deserve one, yo. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? They don't make no awards for that.
Thank you.
I gotta give you one.
Thank you.
And the second one, Trey gets back to back awards from me right now because he. Oh yeah, look, he's cooking. Look, he's on fire.
Yes, sir.
This nigga Trey saved me from almost accidentally making inappropriate comment about someone who wasn't who I thought they were.
I got your back
off of a first glance.
Yeah.
Long story short, it was like a tranny.
Oh. Oh wow.
And he saved me.
Because you was and about to holla.
No, I wasn't gonna holla. I wasn't even gonna say anything to that person. I was gonna say something to Trey. I was gonna say something like off the glance. I didn't even notice anything about it. I just glanced and knew that.
And when he turned around to open his mouth to say something,
he just shut it straight down.
I'm like, bro, that's not what you think it is.
Boom, and saved me. And they don't make no awards for that, yo. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Real time, Jada Great.
I gotta give Jada Great one. Okay. Jada Great needs to get his flowers right now, yo. Jada Great has the illest, the meanest, the most ferocious bars on FaceTime that I've ever seen in my natural motherfucking life, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga FaceTime bars? It's like, yo, that nigga is spitting. Hadouken! And they don't make no awards for that, so. What'd you say? Because I had the cheering going on.
A little conversation shit, you know.
Yeah.
I can't just, you know.
Yeah.
I gotta be in the groove, you know what I mean? Nevertheless, I'm pretty sure at the end of the day we can all come to an understanding.
All right.
That's all we ever want to do, right?
And this nigga Brian, let me tell you, Trey put you up for an honorary award accidentally.
Honorary.
Because y'all went out at some point in time at a weird time in the morning and went for a walk looking for a Bitcoin ATM in Los Angeles, California.
That we found on Sunset, by the way.
And when this nigga withdrew U.S. American dollars from Bitcoin, it kind of made me look at it a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? Because Brian be trying to, like, get me to do this shit. And I've done it digitally before. I've moved around my money a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Played with it, did what I... But I've never really seen it turn into American dollars in, like, real time in cash. Like, going to an ATM. Like, I didn't know that you could really do that shit. But yeah, he did that shit. And you know what? Brian be trying to put niggas on the shit that sometimes we don't listen to. But here's the thing, Brian. We're not going to listen to you
until
at the time.
Yeah,
until it works. Yeah. But you know what?
But look, speaking of that, right? It's a story. It's a story.
But
behind
they don't make no
walk.
Awards for that guy. Give him his cheers.
All right, give him his cheers. It's a cheer. All right. But all now, right, but now, but now, I give Brian an award for not telling a nigga what the fuck we going. Goddamn it, right? So, nigga, it's preferably like 11 something, almost 12 something, and he comes in the room like, "Hey, bro, I'm about to go to ATM. You want to walk with me? You feel me? And the type of nigga I am, you feel me? We in Cali. I ain't going to let my mans walk by himself. You feel me? Like, it's dark.
But I definitely could have.
Yeah.
If I would have knew all that complaining.
Nigga, if I would have knew where the fuck we was walking to, I might have would have let you. But, nigga, I'm like, all right, cool. He like, look, the nigga, you know how a nigga tell you, like, yeah, bro, the shit, like, right down the street. And then you driving for 20 minutes. Like, nigga, you said this shit was down the street.
Yeah.
Nigga, he like, yeah, bro, this shit two blocks. I'm like, all right, bet. We going, you feel me? Go ahead, come back, I roll up, go to sleep. You feel me? This nigga Brian, nigga, we walking. Doop, doop, walking. Now in my head, I'm like, should I ask him where the fuck we going? Because it's been two blocks. So I ask him, like, where the fuck we going, bro? He like, we going to the Bitcoin ATM. I said, Bitcoin? You got me out here.
Because you know he can't get you like that.
You feel me? Right?
But once we miles away, you're not going back home.
But
so
look,
I'm
look,
tell
you,
what we you
feel me? But look, right, in my head, I don't even know a Bitcoin ATM exists, right? Like, so I'm like, so nigga, I think we're going on a treasure hunt, right? Like, nigga, a Bitcoin ATM, nigga, you got me out here searching. So the first location we come to, right? We come to the first location.
Doesn't have it.
No, not only doesn't have it, nigga, it look like the building's boarded up. And I'm like, nigga.
Coronavirus.
You feel me? Like, nigga, shit is deserted. Nigga, it ain't no goddamn Bitcoin ATM. You feel me? So, nigga, it's another one said, like, 0.4 miles away. I'm like, bro, all right, this shit say 0.4 miles away. I don't know how true it is. Never seen one before. But if you want to walk, we about to walk. Come on, we out.
Right.
We walk to the shit, go to the next one, gas station closed. This nigga Brian like, please, this is very important. I need to get
it. Like, don't fucking work like that, bro.
And the gas station nigga like, he like, I'm gonna get fired. I can't let you in. Let me get fired. You feel me? And Brian like, this is very important. I need this, please. You feel me? Like, tell your boss this is good customer service, right? I'm like, nigga, so whole time, me being the nigga I am, it was a gas station right across the street, right? So, Brian, you got to give me an award for this, too. Because whole time, nigga.
Let me give y'all the cheers.
So, look, clutch. I deserve most clutch in this trip. So, nigga, being the nigga I am, I'm like, nigga, I'm thirsty. I need something to drink. Brian, I don't know what you about to sit here and argue with the nigga, but I'm about to go to the store across the street. Right. Lights is open, that shit is open. I'm going.
Yeah.
We get in this shit. What do we see in the store? A fucking Bitcoin ATM. I'm like, what is the fucking odds of this?
So the store that you chose to walk in.
Right.
Oh, I didn't get this part of the story right. earlier.
After he was sitting there asking.
Hey, yo, the Trey just 3PO'd this bitch?
Yeah,
yo?
Yeah, yeah. So. Give me my LeBrons.
Oh, but give they don't make LeBrons. No awards for that, yo.
That's cool. But all look, right, but look right, so right. We going there. He using it, this shit. And I'm really looking like, is really a Bitcoin? Like, what the fuck comes out of it? Like, is a gold coin about to come out? Like, what is this? But yeah, I ain't never seen it before. That was an experience. And we walked down Sunset. So, nevertheless, it was a good trip to take. Never been on Sunset before. I don't think we've been on Sunset since we've been out here. And it was empty as a bitch. Like, literally nobody on Sunset. And we walked down and we seen the houses in the hills, like the view of the hills and the houses in the hills is crazy. Like, nigga, I think literally like a street you turn off of Sunset take you into the hills. You get what I'm saying? Like, you could turn off of Sunset and it'll take you into the hills type shit. So we was really like right there, it felt like, where the houses was and all that, where the hills. That shit was dope. You feel me?
You know what I just realized?
What?
This is getting ready to become probably a two-part episode. Because remember, before I recorded this episode, I said this was going to be the last recorded episode. And then we were going to go through and do the finale later.
Oh, so we about to take a trip real quick and come back.
Well, because what happened was is that Brian definitely wants to get this King Louie. And you know what I'm saying, blah, 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 blah. And I still want to do your other five, but it just seems like this is a good time to just roll up, catch another vibe, and then end it and get back into it.
Okay.
All right. So,
whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what we're going to do. We review these strains.
Sour to the sour.
Trey 3P'd. We did a 3P on the strains. I'm probably going to name this episode some variation.
And my name is Trey, which means three.
Trey.
Yeah, that's the name of the episode.
Okay, so I'm about to roll up and catch a vibe to this Used To from Drake and Lil Wayne, and then we will be back after we go to the store.
And then you play three Drake tracks.
And buy some more
weed.
Yeah.
Trey.
Alright. I'll let y'all. If you want to listen to more, visit our official website at a420podcast.com.
Higher, learn.